Morning. Yeah, most of you probably know me, but if you don't know me, I'm Emily. I've grown up in a Christian family, many of whom come to this church, which has been lovely, and I've had the blessing of actually growing up in this church all of my life. I was dedicated here, I think about 34 years ago, should have checked that fact, something like around that time. I was actually married on this spot almost 12 years ago. So I feel obliged to say my phenomenal husband, husband Rich. So yeah, we have three fantastic children, Isabella, Reuben and Jonah, who are very much seen and heard. So here's hoping we get 10 minutes without that being the case. When I was asked to say something about part of the Bible that meant something to me, the section that came to mind was from Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and it's from Matthew 6, verse 34, and it's from Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And whilst verse 34 is the most poignant to me, I'm going to read out from 25 to 34 for content. So, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And this teaching is important to me because I know I'm a worrier. I'm an overthinker, I'm a what-if kind of person, and I inherently worry about the future. And I spend many moments thinking what I should, could and would have done had I had another shot at something. And when we look at what worry is, it's described as a sense of uneasiness and anxiety about the future. It's repetitive negative thinking and dwelling on negative, possible negative outcomes and whether you can cope with them. It's experiencing a sense of apprehension or unease and the state of being anxious and troubled over an actual or potential problem. So it's not a very nice state to be in. And for me, this passage isn't talking about the kind of worry that we have over whether a cake's risen enough or whether you're running late, because believe me, I worry about those things. But it's the kind of worry that is all-consuming. It's that worry that infiltrates your life and affects how we feel, how we think. It affects our mood, our sleep, our relationships. It affects our enjoyment of things and our mental health. And I think this is the kind of worry that Jesus is trying to guide us on and guard us against. And when I reflect on what makes me worry, you might feel the same, but it's when I'm fearful and when I'm feeling out of control. So from a really young age, I wanted to be a vet. I loved animals and I wanted to be a vet. A bit of a cliche, but that was me and that's what I wanted to do. I don't even know quite when I decided I wanted to be a vet, but that was my goal. And for me, having a focus was really, really important. And all through my sort of secondary school years, that was everything I did. I was revising, going on work experience, doing everything I could to get to that goal. And so when I came to uni, I built this huge excitement, anticipation, and there was so much hard work involved in getting there. I thought it would be the amazing, most amazing thing. And actually, it wasn't all that I expected. The shift in pace of life for me was really dramatic and overwhelming. And many of you might know that I'm really competitive and determined. So when I've set my mind on something, that's what I really want to do. And that can be a really, really great motivator. But when you want something so much, it can fill you with worry, because actually the reality of not achieving that can make it, it can fill your life, and it can therefore mean that you do mither over what will happen if I don't do that. And I was really used to exams and studying on holiday and doing work experience all of my summers, and I thought I was prepared. And in many senses I was, but actually the workload when I got there was a lot harder and the worry was bigger. And I think really deep down I was really fearful of failing, and there were lots of aspects I couldn't control. And I'd kind of gone from a busy, bustling life. The Smith household was full of fun and busyness and chaos, and it was a real safe place to grow up, and it was somewhere where we were all, we were a really close family, we relied on each other, we shared everything, and when I went to uni, I was really overwhelmed by the fact that no one was there thinking, gosh, has Em gone to uni? Has she got up for lectures? Has she come home all right? No one was like nagging after me. No one was asking me to pick my brother up from school or from the station or do anything. And I had no one to ask to do all those things. And actually, it felt lonely. Despite being surrounded by people, it felt quite lonely. And it was just a shock of not having all those people around me. So for anyone with kids, we do eventually appreciate you. Parents, we finally do eventually realise that we need you and why we need you. And I remember speaking to my mum on the phone and saying that this is really hard. And I was conscious it was costing a lot of money to be at uni. Many of us will understand the reality of student debt. And I wasn't really initially enjoying it. And I think probably I wanted to come home. But for me, the thought of doing that was huge. So I had this wrestle of, I don't think I'm enjoying this. It's really hard, but I can't publicly fail with this, because actually, that I was fearful of not achieving something that I set out to do. And it was during the first few weeks that my mum reminded me of a verse, this verse in Matthew, and she may not remember doing it or think it was important, but it was this verse in Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And it was really important to me. I had it pinned on my wall to the left of my laptop. I know where it was. And actually, it was a really good reminder that despite all these changes, all these worries and all these things, we do always have a constant. And that's God. Wherever we are, it can be a real comfort. Whatever city you live in, whatever country you're in, you walk into a church and you know you're surrounded by people that have the same faith as you. And despite us forgetting that momentarily or even for many, many years, God's still there ready, waiting to be our constant. And so 5 years later, I'd found some great churches. I'd been actively involved in our Christian Union. I had a much deeper meaning of the importance of relying on people and relying on God. I also had a degree in veterinary science, which is what I wanted, and I had a fiancé. So, it'd been a bit of a journey, and that isn't the only time in my life I've worried. I'm sure you're all sat here with your own worries that you know that your heart is struggling with and that's dwelling in your mind. And our worries will differ. They differ throughout our life. Things I worried about as a 14-year-old are much different to what I worry about now. And I believe me, having three children have leveled up my worries. And our worries will reflect our job, our age, our lifestyle, our day-to-day challenges, and what's important to me might not be important to you, and what I worry about, you won't worry about. But God knows what all our worries are, and he knows how important they are to us. And I have a front row seat in my job of what people's worries look like. As a vet, I see a big part of my day is doing consults, and people come to me with their worries, mostly about their pets, but also other things as well, but that's a different story. And just looking at how people deal with worries is really interesting. Some people will worry over something for weeks and weeks and not come in. They finally turn up, having tried to fix it themselves for many, many weeks. Others come in straight away. They see something, they panic, they see a lump, they run in thinking it's a massive what thing, and turns out to be a nipple. Others come looking for... that happens all the time. Others come with their worries and looking for advice, and you give them what you think is great advice, and they listen to none of it. And then some come in and put all their trust in you. They look at you going, can you fix this? And I'm thinking, I can't fix it. They trust me to do something, and I can't always do it. I can't perform miracles. But actually, we have a God that can. We've got a God that has all the answers, and he can do miracles. He's all-knowing, all-loving, and all-caring. We don't have to book an appointment to see him. We don't have to pay a consultation fee. He doesn't have a waiting list, and he's never on annual leave. And so I guess what my point is we will have worries, and I don't think Jesus expects us not to have worries. In fact, the world's throwing things at us all the time to worry about. And I don't think this passage is telling us that we should be lazy and give it all to God and do nothing ourselves. We still should plan, and we still can do things to mitigate worry in our lives. But we shouldn't do it on our own strength. And I know I do a lot of the time, and I did, and I will still do that. But I think this is, yet again, one of Jesus' teachings that makes complete sense. In verse 27, Jesus asks us, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And we can't. I don't think we can. And worrying over things that we can't change or can't control doesn't make sense. We should do things to try and mitigate worry, but at some point we have to give it to God. So for me, God's asking us to trust in him, to trust that he does know our needs and what each of us can endure. And for me, Jesus is acknowledging that every day is tough in this world, and my tough day will be different to your tough day. And we actually, on the whole, live in a very privileged in part of this world, people have got much bigger troubles than we have. But the trouble to us, God knows about, and we don't need to do life in our own strength. And if by trying to bring forward tomorrow's worries to today, it just makes the day even harder. And I haven't got it sussed. I haven't got it sussed at all. I remember thinking at the beginning of the summer when people were doing some talks, thinking, thank goodness no one's asked me to talk, because I would spend the whole summer worrying about this if I had to do this. Now, actually, I haven't had any worries about it, which I think has been a blessing from God, that actually he gives us the strength to do things if we just remember him in our lives. And so I guess I challenge us this morning that whatever you're wrestling with, whatever you're worrying about, give it to God. It's not always easy, and I forget it a lot, but we're not making our lives any easier or better by clinging to worry. It tells us to seek first him. And if we're filling our brain with kind of all-consuming worries, that gets in the way of him. It's a distraction, and it's not easy. So I guess, I challenge us to truly trust in him, to truly trust that he knows what we need and that God will provide for us day by day.